The first step is obviously identifying the murmur as aortic regurgitation. Okay, it's classically a decrescendo holodiastolic murmur. Okay, they can describe it as a holodiastolic murmur, loudest in early diastole. They can simply just say holodiastolic murmur. Now, things to note is the aortic valve location is the second intercostal space at the right sternal border. And you're like, well, why doesn't it say that? Like, it doesn't have to. The question doesn't have to say that. Likewise, you might see some questions where they tell you the murmur radiates down the left sternal border or down the right sternal border, okay? So an important piece of advice when you're looking at murmur questions is they are not always textbook, okay? There are classic locations. For example, you might have a mitral regurge that radiates to the axilla, right? Or an aortic stenosis that radiates to the carotids, but the question need not say that, okay? So the bottom line is this is aortic regurge. Now, looking at choice A, blood pressure of 120 on 40, that means a wide pulse pressure. That is the answer in this case, okay? A big difference between systolic and diastolic, where the left ventricle will pump that blood into the aorta, and then because of the incompetent aortic valve, the blood will quickly fall back out of the aorta into the left ventricle, so our diastolic pressure falls, okay? Falls precipitously. This is why we get bounding pulses. Bounding pulses are characteristic of aortic regurge, head bobbing, okay? So wide pulse pressure. This is important for aortic regurge. It's not limited to aortic regurge. We can get bounding pulses in things like arteriovenous fistulae, or sometimes even in patent ductus arteriosus. There's a lot we can chat about, but for simple discussion here, just be aware that aortic regurge, wide pulse pressure, bounding pulses, a big difference between systolic and diastolic pressure. You can sometimes get questions where they say the blood pressure is 160 on 60, okay? Students frequently overlook that, and then you point it out to them. You say, do you notice anything about the blood pressure? That there's, and they're like, oh yeah, like big difference between the two, okay? So choice B, flow across the interventricular septum observed on transthoracic echo, reflective of a VSD, ventricular septal defect. That's wrong. That would be a holosystolic murmur at the left sternal border. The USMLE question will describe a VSD in three ways. They're always going to say that there's a holosystolic murmur at the left sternal border or lower left sternal border. And then they'll add one of three variables. They'll say that there's a palpable thrill or heave, or they'll say that there's a diastolic rumble, or they'll say that there's left atrial enlargement. Okay, lot to chat about on this topic. We could obviously have like a 45-minute discussion on all the heart murmurs and all the cool details and stuff, but we just want to stay focused right now. Choice D, systemic hypertension, would put that afterload on the left ventricle. There's no reason why we would get an aortic regurge in this case. If anything, we might see an S4 heart sound, okay, reflective of diastolic dysfunction from a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. S4 means you have a stiffened left ventricle, okay, which is classic for advanced hypertension. And then choice E, tricuspid insufficiency, that would be a holosystolic murmur, okay, and that would classically be around the left sternal border. So as our tricuspid location is going to be the fifth intercostal space at the lower left sternal border. So yeah, once again, this isn't too complicated. It's just you have to identify this murmur in the vignette as aortic regurgitation and then simply say, well, we know that bounding pulses and a wide pulse pressure are classic for AR. That's it.